Hey everybody, welcome to The Blind Spot. This is episode 7, and I'm your host, Jason Pulaski, a blind man. I picked the name The Blind Spot because, you know, I'm blind, and I thought it would be a good marketing gimmick. Maybe it isn't. I don't know, but the name is cool, so here, and I'm 7 episodes in. So here we are. I just was fucking around on the internet today, and I came across a podcast, by another blind guy called Living Blindfully. I like my name better. His podcast probably sucks, and he probably sucks too. That's a major assumption. But, you know, fuck it. I don't really care. Anyway, you know, it occurred to me, after I finished my last episode that in the midst of talking about Russia's war of conquest in Ukraine, and also Europe's response to it, and like the U.S.'s response to all of that, and like what the U.S. should or shouldn't do in Ukraine, that I went on a side rant about illegal immigration to the United States, in which I started to rant and like rave like a crazy person, because the issue of U.S. illegal immigration is one I find pretty compelling. But I also think that, like, my ranting and raving did not do justice to my actual position. Given that I don't have a guest today, sorry about that. I'm going to resort to bribery and blackmail soon. Don't worry, I'll have a guest soon. But given that I have no guest today, and that I need to do an episode, I thought it would be a good time to clarify and go over my position about immigration to this country. You know, oh, I feel like I need a spittoon when I'm doing this show. Sometimes I gotta spit. Pfft, anyway, I feel like I want to spend this episode clarifying and explaining my position on immigration to the U.S. I hope to make it not boring. You know, I don't know how well I'll succeed, but here we go. You know, the thing that bothers me most about my own position is that I feel like nobody listens to this argument. Like, I feel like I hear the conventional argument all the time, which is like, well, I won't get into that yet. But I feel like I hear the conventional argument all the time. And then I feel like I hear some really distorted kind of Donald Trumpian version of my argument from some people, but never really my argument in a mainstream way. And not that this is a mainstream platform, but it's the only platform I have. And so I'm going to use it to explain to you like what I think about immigration. So I did some checking, first of all. I'm going to talk about legal immigration to the United States, in case anyone's unclear what that means. Legal immigration to this country means that you came here, or a person came here with permission from the government. You filled out an application, and you got accepted and you showed up, or you got married to somebody who was already a citizen, or you got a work visa that you then parlayed into a green card. There's a variety of different ways to emigrate here legally. You know, and so I did some checking, and in the year 2022, we naturalized 1 million new citizens. Naturalized is just the word that means, like, you create a citizen of a country when they're not born. So they're, like, they're already an adult or a child, I suppose, and they sign some paperwork and swear an oath and become a citizen. It's called naturalization, meaning you've created a new citizen from a person who was a citizen of somewhere else before. You know, so in 2022, we naturalized 1 million new citizens. I am sure the number is not exactly that round, but close enough. That's what I found. In the year 2023, we naturalized 878,000 new citizens. Now, those two numbers aren't exactly the number of legal immigrants we took in those 2 years, because oftentimes what we do is hand out green cards to people. A green card says you can live here permanently, but it's not the same thing as being a citizen. To become a citizen, a person with a green card has to actually, like, take further steps themselves to make themselves a citizen, or, like, to start that whole process. You got to take a test and, like, all this other stuff. So, you know, for example, in 2024, we might hand out 2 million green cards and only naturalize, you know, 1.8 million citizens, or 1.6 or whatever the real number ends up being. It depends on how many people who get green cards want to become citizens, and it also depends on how fast we process them and stuff. So, you know, I cannot, everybody who's here in this country right now with citizenship is either the descendant of a Native American, the descendant of a slave, or the descendant of an immigrant, or an immigrant themselves. So that means that except for the descendants of slaves and the Native Americans, who I really have to pedantically point out still walked here, everybody here is an immigrant. Every citizen of this country, even if your people showed up on the Mayflower, is technically an immigrant. And, you know, anybody who showed up after 1781 is technically an immigrant to the country. It means that something like 99% of our... No, that's wrong, because of the slaves. It means something like 89% of the people in this country are voluntary immigrants, or the descendants of voluntary immigrants. I reversed that. So, you know, pick an American you like, and their people emigrated here, odds are. You know, and even with black people, who many of whom are the descendants of slaves, like many of them also are immigrants. It's not always easy to just know. I mean, like, there are plenty of people who've come over the last 100 years from Haiti or the Dominican Republic or from Africa or whatever. So the point is, most Americans are either very recent immigrants or the descendants of them. I feel like I looped around that point 1,000 times, so much so that I almost want to restart the show from the beginning, but I'm going to quash that perfectionist tendency and continue. And by the way, I like all of that legal immigration. I want more of it. I would be pleased if we naturalized over 1 million citizens in the year 2024. I'd go as high as 3 million this year. You know, I mean, I am flexible on that number. Flexible on the number of citizens we naturalize, and flexible on the number of green cards we hand out. Because, you know, I think in a normal, healthy society, the number of immigrants that we take in should fluctuate based on our needs. So sometimes we're going to need more immigrants, and sometimes we're going to need fewer, depending on what's going on with our labor market and our population and our birth rate and things like that. And so, like, the numbers of immigrants we take every year should fluctuate based on our needs. I also want to address a couple other things. We have in this country a refugee resettlement program in which we find vulnerable populations who would like to leave places, and we take them in legally as refugees. It's a whole thing. We fly them here after extensively going over their backgrounds, and we let them stay here legally. We give them green cards, and we allow them the opportunity to become citizens. Under President Obama, the amount of refugees we were taking in was around 150,000. Under President Biden, it's a little higher. I'm an idiot, so I forgot to go double-check that number before I came here to do the show. So, and I can't look at my... I can't use the internet on my phone because it'll stop the recording of the show. So the point is, though, I'm 95% sure that under Mr. Biden... we are taking in about 200,000 refugees a year, which is a little higher than Obama had it. There are exceptions because we took in big chunks of Ukrainian refugees and Afghan refugees from Afghanistan, people who helped us out, and also people who just got on planes to the U.S. as we were leaving. So we take in refugees too and offer them green cards and a chance at citizenship, which I also favor. I would even be willing to increase that number to, say, 300,000 refugees. So those are our legal avenues of immigration, and I favor all of them. And I'm pretty okay expanding them, too. I mean, you know, in fairness, there would be times when I would be all right also contracting or shrinking them, depending on what's going on in the country, but I don't feel like that now. No indicator I see makes me think that's something I want to do at this time. You know, maybe if the labor market really, really tightened up, or something. I don't know. I'm saying there are reasons I would change my mind on the number of immigrants we need right now, but it hasn't happened in my life yet. Now let's talk about illegal immigration. Now, just so we're clear, illegal immigration, as the name suggests, is the opposite of legal immigration. It's when you come here without the permission of the United States, and you get into the country and you sneak around so as not to be noticed by the government. It's a little bit complicated because we have signed a treaty that obligates us to allow people to seek asylum here. It means you can come here and ask us for political asylum based on conditions in your home country. Each country that signed this treaty, this asylum treaty, which is most of them, has different criteria for what they deem a credible asylum claim. And even within countries, those criteria change from time to time. Donald Trump rightfully narrowed them, and then Mr. Biden, in my opinion, wrongfully widen them again, you know, but another president might narrow them or widen them. The point is the criteria is up for debate within a country. It's not one little set criteria. But as of now, you know, our criteria indicate that you have to be basically either coming out of an active war zone, like, you know, Ukraine, for example, or you have to be facing a personal threat of violence. Rather than like a broad threat of violence generally, or maybe you're part of a specifically oppressed group, like if you were gay in Kenya and they were going to murder you because you're openly gay and they know that, and if you go back, they'll kill you. The grounds are fairly narrow. Each immigration judge is a little different, and the numbers are kind of hard to verify. I've spent a long time trying to figure out how many claims of asylum are accepted, but a number that seems about right is anywhere from 20 to 40%. I've seen numbers as low as 10 and as high as maybe 45%, but I think in general the number might be between 20 and 30%. It's somewhere in there. Like, to be clear now, coming from poverty is not grounds for asylum. Coming from a country more violent than this country is not grounds for asylum on its own. There are plenty of things that are not grounds to successfully get asylum in this country. So when we talk about illegal immigrants, it's not illegal to come to this this country, come to the Border Patrol and beg for asylum. That is legal. Now, at the same time, coming to the southern border and sneaking across and then living here without the knowledge of the government is illegal. It's the same thing as coming here on a visa, whether it's a work visa or a tourist visa or any other visa, and then just not leaving when the visa expires. That's another common way people illegally immigrate here. They get a tourist visa or any other type of visa. They get to the country, and then they just don't leave. And then 4.5 years later, some government agency stumbles upon them, and they're deported because they're here illegally. Now, There are many different ways people arrive here legally, illegally. I'm sorry. One thing that happens is people just walk here. People pay a lot of money to have coyotes, which is just some slang term for smugglers or traffickers or escorts. You know, smuggle them to the southern border, and then from there they sneak across, and they kind of try and just, like, squat in the country for as long as they can. By squat, I mean, you know, they're here without permission, without anyone's permission, and they hide so as not to be noticed. And then they commit crimes to further not be noticed, like they get fake papers and, you know, commit identity theft and, like, you know, use fake social security numbers bought in the black market to deceive employers so as to be hired and to, like, you know, rent apartments and, like, participate in the system in, like, a kind of marginal, shadowy way. You know, because if they didn't do that and they were found by the government, they would be deported, because they're not supposed to be here. Now, I'm sorry. I should have written an outline out. I sometimes get distracted. Forgive me. So now, over the last year, the average monthly number of people the Border Patrol came into contact with on our border was about 310,000 individuals per month. That's like basically 4 million people a year, a little less, 3.8 million people a year, attempting to illegally cross the border. In addition, for some reason, what happens when people ask for asylum, we have such a big backlog of asylum claims here that what we do when somebody asks for asylum in this country right now is we say, well, listen, it's going to take us a while to hear your claim because we have so many people ahead of you in line who are asking for asylum. So what we're going to do is give you a court date in which to appear in court to see whether you get asylum. That court date is going to be years away. Here's your court date, and here's where you're supposed to appear. Until that happens, here's some money for a bus ticket. Just tell us where you'd like to go, and you can go hang out in the country until your court date, which we really hope you appear for. And then when you do appear, we'll decide whether you get to stay here or whether we're going to deport you. Those court dates can be anywhere from 2 to 7 years from the time of the person's arrival in the country. And up until that time, they are here legally, sort of, and they can stay here. Depending on the state they go to, they are allowed or not allowed state services. If they arrive with children or are children themselves, they are educated at taxpayer expense. That's the expense of citizens. That's money that we spend as American citizens. If they break their arm, they get to go to the hospital at our expense. Some states give them state welfare benefits or allow them to work or to get driver's licenses or, state-issued IDs. Other states don't allow these things. It depends on the state. Now, I'll tell you, so I hope I've given you a little bit of background. I worry it's not extensive enough. But now listen, what I oppose is all of what I have just described. I am perfectly fine with people coming here to ask us for political asylum. We have treaty obligations to evaluate those claims. But I am not cool with allowing a person to wait for us to make that decision in this country. That is insane to me. If you want to wait for an asylum claim to be decided, you wait outside of the country. I do not believe that you should wait for it here. First of all, because I don't want to pay the money it costs to deal with you while you're here waiting. And secondly, because it's too incentivized for you to like simply not show up for your court date. Because in addition, if the court hearing goes against you and it is decided that you will be deported, you are offered you are given an additional 90 days of grace to get your affairs in order before we deport you. And in this period, many people just don't come back. Imagine that, because they don't want to be deported. So it's, it's too easy. The incentives are all wrong. I would rather not let you in at all than run the risk that you won't leave when we ask you to leave. So the first thing I would change, and that shitbag cocksucker's credit, Mr. Trump I'm talking about, not that I give him credit for very much, but even the worst president in history who attempted a coup and committed treason against the United States did a couple of things right. And one of those things was that he had a wait in Mexico policy for asylum seekers, which makes perfect sense to me. Let them wait in Mexico or, at home. They don't have to walk all the way here to ask. They can call ahead. We have systems in place for them to do that, to ask for asylum before they're even here. And I want to lean into that. I don't want people waiting here while they wait for us to decide whether or not we'll grant them asylum. You know, I simply don't. Like, it's costing us too much money, and it incentivizes them to then become illegal immigrants, whether they do that before their court date because they don't want to take the risk they'll be deported, or whether they do that after their court date when they have a 90-day window to get their affairs in order before they're deported. Either way, I don't want to do that. And, you know, I also want to make very, I want to make sure that when we grant people asylum, it's for a majorly credible threat to them specifically as a person. You know, for example, I don't know much about the country of Belize. I just know it's small and poor, and I'd be willing to bet that its murder rate is higher than that of the United States, simply because Belize is either is located in South or Central America, and most of those homicide rates are high. I assume corruption is high, and medical technology and medical services are poor. I assume the life expectancy in Belize is lower than in the United States. In short, what I'm saying is, I assume that if you are a person who lives in Belize and you could choose instead to live in the USA as a citizen, most Belizeans, if that's the right word for what they are, would make that choice to live here. But that is not grounds to be granted asylum here. That's my point. You know, simply living in Mexico, which is violent because the Mexicans have allowed a narco state to sort of replace much of state institutions, you know, over there. The Mexicans have kind of allowed their country to be bad. Not that there's anything new for them, but because the Mexicans have allowed that to happen, their country is dangerous and corrupt and like a semi-failed state. I mean, not exactly a failed state, but it's kind of iffy. It's like, you know, 2 years ago, the cartels assassinated thousands of people who were running for office for making anti-cartel statements. The cartels are probably more powerful than the Mexican government itself. I mean, and if that's not true, it's an open contest. Who would actually have more power if it came down to a war? But just simply being a citizen of Mexico is not grounds for asylum in the United States. That's the point I'm making. In order to get asylum here, in order to be granted asylum here as a person who is a Mexican citizen, it's more than that that's required. You need to be, like, about to be murdered specifically by the cartels because you, like, spat in somebody's face, or because, you know, you're gay and they don't like that, or because, you know, I don't know, they wanted to buy your house and you wouldn't sell to them, or there are many other reasons, but I'm saying it has to be a specific thing. So don't think just because some person comes from a shithole country or a third world country or from somewhere in the global south or from, say, China, that they automatically have asylum claims here. It's a case-by-case basis depending on a person. I mean, you know, if you're a citizen of China and you've spoken out extremely harshly against the communist government and you know they will beat you to death if you go back, you probably have a strong asylum claim in most countries, and probably here. So while I'm in favor of granting asylum when it's credible, I'm not in favor of using the asylum thing as a blunt force tool or a sledgehammer to hoover up people who happen to have walked here. I'm just not interested in that. So I want to use the asylum system as intended to grant political asylum when it is clear that, you know, that threat of violence is or persecution to an individual is actually credible. And the thing is that, like, I have been so frustrated by how we handle immigration in general, not the legal immigration, mind you, but the rest of it, that I have been highly tempted to say that I want to walk away entirely from our treaty obligation to grant people asylum and simply not do it anymore. Because I believe that people who, for some reason, want to hoover up or vacuum up or just allow insane amounts of immigration for no good reason that I can see are using this asylum thing to do that. Like, I want to take that tool out of their toolbox rather than let them abuse it. But, like, I am not there yet because I think the United States offering asylum to people is both good for us morally, a valuable thing to do, and it sends a valuable signal to the rest of the civilized world that they should also do the same thing, because we do. I want to lead by example. Now, you know, so the thing is, though, if a million people ask for asylum this year, I want them all waiting outside of the country, first of all. I don't want to let them in anymore, because I don't believe they'll leave. And if only 80 of those people have credible asylum claims, then you send the other 999,820 people home again. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be 80. Of course it's not. But I'm saying the number of people we accept should not fluctuate based on the number of people who arrive, unless conditions have gotten so bad that, you know, more asylum claims are credible. And by the way, I think our standards to allow people asylum in this country should be fairly tough. I don't mean so tough that they're meaningless, but I do mean, like, being a citizen of Guatemala or Nicaragua or El Salvador or Mexico or Chile is not enough on its own, you know, to just be granted asylum. You know, a couple of countries, maybe, for example, Haiti, which literally has no government, or being a woman in Afghanistan is probably a good enough claim for asylum. Or perhaps, say, like, living in the Gaza Strip right now might be a good enough claim to get granted asylum if you get here. But, like, those are the exceptions that prove the rule, is my point. You know, and, like, if I thought that every person who was asking for asylum would show up for their court date to see if they got asylum and then show up to be deported if that court case went against them, I would allow those people to wait here, as long as they paid their way while they were waiting. We'd give them a bill when they left for, you know, services rendered in those couple of years, if they took advantage of any services while they were here, you know, because this is not a homeless shelter or a charity. We're a country. Thank you. I don't know how serious I am about charging them for their time here. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I'm sort of appalled by the current status quo, and it makes me so angry that this is as level-headed of a discussion as I'm capable of having about this at this point. So I think we've covered the asylum seeker thing enough. You know, I'm not entirely against it. The other thing is, I also want to know what we're going to do with the people who we grant asylum to. Like, how long are we granting it to them for? For example, if a person from Ukraine asks for asylum, I'm pretty sympathetic towards that claim. I want to give it to them. The asylum, I mean. But, you know, if the Ukrainian war ends with Ukraine having won, you know, is that person supposed to be automatically sent back because the conditions in their country have become more favorable to not being killed? A lot of times I think people have this feeling of, like, well, they're here already, so now we'll never send them home. Every year or so in the papers, when Obama was president and when Biden was president, and perhaps even when Trump was president, the fucking shitbag, I'll read an article that says, you know, the president has extended a special exception for people from, say, El Salvador or Haiti. No, I'm not going to use Haiti as an example, but, like, El Salvador or Nigeria or, you know, Pakistan or the Dominican Republic. There we are. Like, what will happen is, say, in 1997, I'm picking a year at random, a natural disaster will have happened, or a political upheaval will have happened, or some type of thing happens that creates an outflow of people, of refugees. And some of them make it to the United States. And, like, whatever happened in that country at that time was so bad. Let's say it's an earthquake or a civil war or whatever, a famine. Whatever happened was so bad that the president at that time said, hey, like, listen, whatever's going on in your country sucks so much that all the people from that country who show up here, what would have been illegally, get to stay here until the thing is over. Until the famine is over or the war or whatever it is. And, like, when a president does that, he says, this exception lasts for 3 years or 4 years or 2 months or whatever time period he wants. And then weirdly, what happens is later presidents keep extending it. So you'll see a thing of like, okay, it's 2005, and you'll see an article that says, George Bush has extended the humanitarian parole first offered in 1995 by Bill Clinton to the people of Somalia because there was an earthquake or a war or whatever, to allow those same people to continue staying here another 3 years. And then at some point, though, I say to myself, but hang on. They came here because there was an earthquake or a civil war or something. That was 17 years ago. Sometimes it's for a very bad hurricane. I mean, it's for all sorts of reasons like that. But then, like, Joe Biden is literally extending, like, that non-deportation order to these people for conditions that were originally, like, taking place during, like, Bill Clinton's administration, which was like, 24 years ago at least. And so at some point, it just starts to be bullshit, where it's like, hang on. You had 40,000 people come here because there was an earthquake or an avalanche or something, or a coup that happened, a government take, you know, just look up what fucking coup means. I don't have to keep, I'm not going to use a thesaurus every time I use the word. Anyway, you had these people come here because some bad thing happened, and now it's like 30 years later, and you've been offering them temporary exemptions ever since. It's like shit or get off the pot. Either just say they can stay forever, which I'm against, by the way, because they didn't come here the right way, or send them the fuck home. You know, or do something about it. But just kind of like kicking the can down the road is annoying because it looks dishonest. Because you know, I'm open to the argument that, like, look, you've had these people here for like 48 years on some circumstantial exception, and now they're all 70, so just let them stay here. Like, all right, then just say that then. Just openly say that then. You know, and if you can't, then don't. I mean, if the law says send them home, fucking send them home. You know. These are the things that bother me. And by the way, now we're going to talk about why they really bother me. All right. Because most of this problem is not asylum seekers, and it's not these temporary exemptions that happen. Most of this problem is that we have an illegal immigration problem. The modern term is sometimes undocumented immigrants. Because a bunch of fucking hippies somehow believe that undocumented immigrants is both a more accurate, less dehumanizing, and nicer term than illegal immigrants. These hippies go, people aren't illegal. And it's like, of course people aren't illegal, you morons. And so, before we go any further, I want to point out that I am not trying to dehumanize anybody. Every single person in the world that exists is a human being. In case you didn't know that, every Russian's a human being, every Chinese person is a human being, every American is a human being, every Palestinian, every Rohingya, or Rohingya, I don't know how to say it, every person who has citizenship in a country, every stateless person, every fully abled person, every deaf person, every blind person, every intellectually disabled person, every mute, every midget, every tall person, they're all human, okay? Like, now that we've gotten that stupid-ass point out of the way, may we please continue? I'm not going to use the term undocumented immigrant because it's wrong. Most illegal immigrants have documents they've illegally obtained to continue their like, perfidious presence in our country. They commit identity theft to stay here. They have fake IDs and fake social security cards, fake passports, fake histories on paper in order to dodge government efforts to deport them. So they are documented immigrants. Their documents are simply illegal. It's just simply another crime they've committed in addition to the crime of entering this country without our permission. So I'm not going to use the term undocumented when many of them are very well documented. They're illegal immigrants. Does that mean that they are illegal people? No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. It means they have emigrated to this country illegally. The distinction should be obvious to a person with an IQ of 80 and above. My goodness. So, Now, the thing is, we have a 2,000-mile-long border with Mexico. You know, Mexico is at best a second-world country, and it does not have an incentive to keep all these illegal immigrants from crossing the Mexican border into the United States. For a couple of reasons, but the biggest reason is if Mexico doesn't let these illegal immigrants cross into our country, it means those people are still in their country. And surprise, surprise, they don't want them. You know, and the Mexicans understand that that for most people, Mexico is simply like Mexico is simply a stage on the path to the United States. So it's like, hey, let them through or we got to deal with it. And they don't want to do that, and so they let them through. You know, sometimes an American president is more successful at wrapping Mexico on the knuckles and saying, we don't want this. Stop letting these people in. And then the Mexicans, for a year or so, will kind of choke the flow off a little bit. But then they just ignore us again and let it ride. So, it's a 2,000-mile-long border, maybe even significantly longer. I can't remember the rest of it. Is it 29 or 21 or 2,200? Anyway, it's a long-ass border. It's 2,000 miles at minimum. So the border, like, you know, extends through many geographic conditions. It's mountains and fucking plains and rivers and all this shit. It's hard for us to patrol the entire border, because it's so long, and people want to get here so bad, you know, not to mention that, like, depending on what country you come from and how much money you have and stuff, you can get a visa and travel here legally and emigrate here illegally by just not leaving. So the point is, it's pretty easy to immigrate here illegally, but there are a couple other layers to this, which is how incentivized these people are by actions that the United States takes to come here. Now, incentives work in a couple of different ways. First of all, the biggest incentive is that people believe that they can get work in this country, that if they emigrate here illegally and then commit identity theft, and then, like, commit the both moral and legal crime of you know, hiding here and pretending they're here legally, they can work doing a job, you know, and that's true. It's a true incentive. It's why people come, because American citizens hire illegal immigrants, whether knowingly or not, to do a bunch of jobs. A lot of times it's knowingly, and, like, the reason is because these people are illegal. You know, businesses, large and small, can pay them less than they would pay American citizens and have them work in worse working conditions than American citizens would work in. Because if any of these people complain, all the people have to do who are their employers is to call ICE, the agency whose task it is to deport illegal immigrants, and these people will be deported. So it's easy grounds for blackmail. Or if not blackmail, just easy grounds to offer a shitty deal. Because the alternative is deportation. That's an incentive. To be clear, because I'm going to talk harshly about it, just to be clear, I don't like that incentive. I believe that any business or employer who has been found to hire illegal immigrants should first be fined badly enough that the hiring of illegal immigrants is not a financially... It's not a financially beneficial thing to do. The fine should be bad enough that it is not worth it, money-wise, to hire illegal immigrants. This is assuming that we can prove in court that they knowingly hired illegal immigrants. Now, secondly, if that employer does it again, I believe the people responsible should go to prison for at least a year and pay a larger fine. I want to disincentivize the hiring of illegal immigration... I apologize for all my, like, slurring and mispronunciation. It's difficult to monologue, ladies and gentlemen. I really need guests. Pardon me. I believe that, like, the people who knowingly can be proven to knowingly hire illegal immigrants should then pay a larger fine and go to prison. You know, I want to disincentivize our people to do this. I want to make it not worth their while and, in fact, something they don't want to do. Just like, you know, the average person doesn't want to fucking drive around with a brick of cocaine in their trunk because the penalty is too high if they're pulled over, I want to make the penalty for hiring illegal immigrants higher so people are less likely to do it. I favor, like, doing anything we can to make it less likely that this happens. So there's a system called E-Verify, which is, like, a kind of, like, electronic system that would make it easier for companies to know if they were hiring illegal immigrants or not. And I favor wide adoption of that system. I'm saying, spiritually, anything that does what I'm talking about here, I favor. I want to make it easy for a person who's an employer to know whether the person they're hiring is an illegal immigrant or not, so that they don't have the excuse to hire them and say they did not know. At the same time, I want to make it not worth their while to hire illegal immigrants, so that even if they do know there are illegal immigrants looking for work, I want to make it financially and, you know, actually not worth their while to do it. I want employers to worry about jail time if they do it, so they stop doing it. You know, and one of the reasons is that having this constant pool of illegal immigrants distorts the U.S. labor market. Now, I know there are studies that say that this is not true, but I don't believe them, because in all that time, there has always been a pool of illegal immigrants. So it's like, look, you know, Americans don't want to pick apples, but part of the reason is because employers don't have to offer Americans conditions that Americans would find picking apples to be worthwhile, because they don't have to do that because there are illegal immigrants willing to work for less and in worse conditions because, you know, compared to what they were doing in wherever they came from, our conditions are good. It's like, sure, from an American perspective, picking apples for 12 hours a day for 6 cents an hour sucks. But from the perspective of a person who walked here from Honduras, it's pretty good. So it's kind of like, perspective is very important. And like you know, your previous conditions impact what conditions you think are good or bad. So if you're from a third world nation that's very poor, where your country chose not to pass any work safety legislation, you know, and, like, your country favors big business even more than the United States does, conditions in your home country where work-wise are probably worse than conditions here, if you can even find a job over there to begin with. So, you know, for the illegal immigrants, it's better. But for us, it's worse. And, like, when you drive down working conditions and wages in the United States, of course there are jobs Americans don't want to do because they're not attractive to people. Because there's this big pool of illegal immigrants who are willing to do these things. So it's sort of like, you know, we'll pay these guys $5 an hour and make them work for 12 hours a day and have them sleep in hammocks because it saves us a shitload of money. And so, like, when you then have, then you no American wants to work for $7.25 to 12 hours a day and sleep in a hammock, you know, to pick apples. Because, like, they're not habituated to that. That's not what they've been kind of trained up on, you know. Which makes perfect sense. So, you know, I do not know what would happen to the labor market if we just stopped illegal immigration, but I'm willing to find out. I'll talk more about why I'm willing to find out later. Okay, so I've covered the employer part now. I'm against that. I want to disincentivize employers hiring illegal immigrants. And by the way, I blame employers for a great deal of this problem. Like, employers are probably the people I blame. I'm blaming employers for it. Like, you know, you're hiring people who aren't supposed to be here. You're incentivizing them to be here. But no, there are other people I blame too. I also blame Democrats in blue states, who, up until very recently, were what you'd call sanctuary states or sanctuary cities. These Democrats, and I wish I could say it was Democrats and Republicans, but it's mostly Democrats, if not totally, We're so, oh, I don't know what the word is. I don't know what word I want to use, and the words I'm thinking of are too mean. So we're so whatever. We're so hippie-ish is the best word I have. We're such hippies and so such bleeding heart liberals that their policy was sort of a don't ask, don't tell policy on illegal immigration. They decided they weren't just, they were just not going to get involved in it. Like, so they would never ask about the status of a person's, they would never ask about a person's immigration status, like, which incentivized people who were here illegally to go to those places. You know, it's like, if you are an illegal immigrant and you fear deportation, you go to the place that you find deportation to be most, least likely to happen. So, for example, like, Massachusetts would never hold anyone for the feds to deport unless they axe murdered somebody. So, and they would not, like, so they're sanctuary states and cities. They are encouraging. They were encouraging, and still sort of are, but less now, illegal immigrants. They were safe havens within the country. Now, that incentivizes illegal immigration. Because some guy comes here from Chile and says, hey, bro, to his friend, if you make it here, go to Connecticut. They won't ask about your immigration status. Don't be in Texas because they will and they'll deport you. Like, people talk, you know, and the reception they get here is known at home. And so, like, that is horrendous. I mean, if I were the president and it was up to me, one of the first things I would do if I was ever the president, which I'll never be, but if I was, it's my podcast. If I can't fantasize here, where can I? The first thing I would do is say to my attorney general, listen, I want to know every single thing I can do to punish these sanctuary states, and I want you to give me this brief within 24 hours, and then we're going to do everything that we can legally do. I would literally deny a sanctuary state all federal funds for all other programs if that was in my power as the president. You either stop fucking around like that, or we're just not paying you any money. I know it's legally probably not possible to do that, but I'm saying whatever I could do, I would do. Literally everything. Whatever the law would allow, I would do. Because these people are almost nullifying U.S. law. I'm not exactly sure how it isn't nullification, the idea that state law supersedes federal law, but it's damn close and I don't dig it. So, like, that's an incentive to allow illegal... It's a pull incentive for illegal immigrants. They hear that San Francisco doesn't give a fuck, and they go there. You know, I want to stop that. I want to stop that cold in its tracks. And, like, I should mention, and I did mention this before, but as our illegal immigration problem has become much worse, Democratic states, blue states, have become way less cool with incentivizing it themselves, the people of the states. You still have dyed-in-the-wool hippies who are reflexively pro-illegal immigrant because that's just how they're built politically. It's like Save the Whales and Sanctuary Cities, you know, they're just kind of built that way. I'm not blaming them for that, I'm just trying to explain an ideology to you. So, but as more and more people flood into these sanctuary states, more and more citizens are against it because it's now not an abstract concept for them. It's something they have to live with. You see, when it was like far away in Texas and Arizona and California and Oregon. Is Oregon a border state? Fuck, I'm so blind. New Mexico. I'm saying the border states. My geography is so bad, ladies and gentlemen. I need a Braille Atlas really badly. But anyway, when it was a border state problem and only an abstract problem in the center and in the eastern part of the country, it was easy for people to be like, listen, Boston is not going to ask about the immigration status of anyone, you know. But then again, there were only like 40,000 illegal immigrants in Boston, so who cares, you know? But now that that's not true anymore, suddenly normal people who are not involved in this are being activated my way. Because nobody wants, you know, what's happening. Which was already like a thing in Texas. This was already a thing in Texas and Florida and other border states. But like, you know, the rest of the country didn't have to deal with it. So out of sight, out of mind. By the way, Out of Sight is a way cooler name for a podcast than Living Blindfully. Anyway, but like Out of Sight, Out of Mind, and so, but now that the numbers of illegal immigration are rising so much, it's becoming all of our problem instead of just a couple states' problem. And I love to see people swinging my way on it. You're welcome. I've been saying it forever. This is a political position I've held for 20 years. Ever since I became, like, aware it was happening. Ever since I started reading the news. Oh, shit. Now, this is the problem with no guests. I suddenly find myself in a thicket and trying to pull myself out. Ah, here we are. Incentives. I want that sanctuary city incentive and state incentive stopped. But, now, the other thing I want stopped is, like, I think that Joe Biden is probably the best president we've had since Lyndon Johnson or maybe George Bush Sr. He's the best president we've had in a long time. And I was surprised because I thought Biden was going to be worse. And in one way I thought he was going to be worse was that he was going to be far softer on illegal immigration than he's been. But he's still been far too soft. His rhetoric at the beginning of his term especially incentivized people to come here, and he should not have done that. He is a major reason this problem is happening. Listen, you know, when Biden took office, he, like many others, myself included, was so horrified by the 4 years of Donald Trump that, now I didn't do this, but many other people did. They reflexively opposed all the things that Trump and the Republicans had done, simply because Trump did them. So because Trump was anti-illegal immigrant, like, that unfortunately radicalized people in the other direction because they didn't like Trump, which is stupid. You know, it's a stupid fucking way to be, and it's a stupid way to think about politics. Donald Trump is the guy who signed the bill that gave us the Space Force, and it's like somebody said, well, Donald Trump created the Space Force, so I'm against our having one. It's like, no, you dumbass. Having a Space Force is an excellent idea, and it shouldn't be damaged through its association with Trump. It's like, Trump did a couple great things. Probably more than a couple. He was just a horrendous president because he committed treason or sedition, and because he's a moron, and because he put his own interests far above the interests of the nation, and because he wanted to do a bunch of really dumb stuff that was so much worse than the good stuff he actually did. And not to mention he did a bunch of bad stuff too, and he's that's a different podcast. But the point is, let ideas stand on the merits of them, not on the people they're associated with. It's like Hitler was a vegetarian. It doesn't mean being a vegetarian is bad because Hitler is an asshole. Monster. Monster is the word I want. Asshole is not a strong enough word for what Hitler was. A lot of people were like, oh, you know, Trump was anti-immigrant or anti-illegal immigrant, rather. I'm going to be pro-illegal immigrant because I hate Trump so much. And I think Mr. Biden fell prey to that error in thinking. Biden also came from a party that was too pro-illegal immigrant to begin with anyway. I'm a Democrat, but that's probably my biggest beef with Democrats. Let me think. Is it? Yeah. Probably my biggest problem with the Democratic Party is their stance on illegal immigration, which is they're like for it, which is a crazy thing to be. I'll get into more of that later, but that's my thing. So, President Biden's words and the words of people in his administration incentivized huge waves of illegal immigration. We're seeing them still come now. His Homeland Security Mayorkas, who the Republicans just wrongfully impeached in the House, is an idiot who never should have been appointed because he himself, incentivized illegal immigration. His rhetoric was dovish and, whatever. The whole administration was bad on that. Kamala Harris didn't start telling people, please don't come, until a year and a half in to this problem. So, look, I blame this current administration a lot for this problem. But, I blame the Trump administration too, because Trump talked a good one, but still sucked at this. There were still way too many illegal immigrants coming into the country when Trump was president. I blame Barack Obama for this too, and I blame George Bush. I blame Bill Clinton. I blame Bush Sr., you know. I blame everybody all the way back to Reagan. I mean, Reagan at least signed illegal immigration reform, you know, so I blame him less. But, like, you know, any time this gets out of hand, I blame the people for it. It should never be a problem. Like, look, the amount of people who come across the border every month right now averages out to 310,000 people a month. I would like that average to drop by 300,000. I would like the average to be 10,000 people, and once we get it to that, I would like it to be 5,000 people. I understand it'll never be zero, but the goal is zero. You know, how many illegal immigrants do I want here? The answer is none. I want no one here. How many illegal immigrants would I like deported? All of them. That is a pipe dream. It'll never happen, and there are a bunch of reasons it can't happen, but I'm telling you what I want. Now, so I think I've talked about the incentives that bring people here. And now I want to talk a little bit about the people themselves who come here and what's going on and what they're doing. First of all, I need to make a really important point. The people who are coming here illegally and the people who are coming here legally are mostly coming here from the same countries. If you pull up a list of the top 20 countries where illegal immigrants come from and the top 20 countries where legal immigrants come from, the lists are very similar. I'm not favoring legal immigration and am rabidly against illegal immigration because I favor one national group arriving here over another national group. If all the illegal immigrants were poor white people and all the legal immigrants were poor black people, I would still be just as against illegal immigration as I am right now and just as pro-legal immigration as I am right now. I need to say this because for some reason a bunch of retards are like, "You're racist," when I say I don't want illegal immigration. I don't know really why. I mean, I suppose it's because, like, Trump and, like, I don't know. I mean, I suppose it's because, like, some people who are against illegal immigration are racist. But, like, that's not why I'm against it. And that's not why a lot of other people are against it either. You know, so I just want to be clear that, like, I don't care about the composition of either group. I don't care what it is. I am against illegal immigration because it shouldn't be happening this way, period. So now, I want to talk about these people. So, illegal immigrants to this country come from everywhere. Literally every nation. You know, from every continent. They either, as I've said, walk here through the jungle. The walk that most illegal immigrants take is about 2,000 to 1,000 miles. They usually start in South or Central America, and they walk all the way from there to this border, and then we let them in, which is insane. I don't know why I just don't know why. I can't even understand. I still don't understand why. They walk here and we let them in. Or they fly here and then they hide when their visa expires, which is a little harder for us to figure out, but still. But I want to make sure I'm not minimizing what's happening. A lot of people walk 1,500 miles to this country. It takes them 4 months to walk. They walk through the jungle. They walk on the sides of highways. They do whatever they can to get here. It's like a horrible journey. It's a horrible journey to make. And then we let them in, which makes more people make the same fucking journey. You know, if we bounced them out immediately, they'd probably stop walking here. Which is another huge problem I have. Our letting people in incentivizes them to come here. Like, when we allow people to wait here, and I should have, you know, I'm sorry I didn't say this before. If you were wondering one of the reasons why I'm against allowing asylum seekers to wait here in this country, it's not just that it drains our resources and costs us money. That's my secondary concern. My primary concern is that allowing people who are asking for asylum to wait in this country incentivizes more of them to come here and ask because they say to themselves, well, look, I may or may not get asylum in this country, but even if I don't get it, I get 5 years to hang here. Fuck that. Because it incentivizes more people to come and try. They should be like, hey, I have to wait in Juarez, Mexico to, like, for 5 years to see if I get asylum. It's not really worth it. I'll call from Guatemala and see if they'll give it to me before I come here. So, allowing people to come in is another incentive. But I just need to clarify, like, these people walk a long way. I'm like, and the walk is a brutal walk. I mean, it's not like a picnic. I mean, there's a thing called the Darien Gap, which is like this strip of jungle rainforest with like a little tiny trail cut through it because so many people walk through it. But it's like, you know, it's like a remote area of a jungle where like a bunch of like literal tribes used to live. And like, it's a pretty bad walk. You walk through a bunch of countries, you know, like you're being charged crazy high prices for fucking water and food and stuff. It's a pretty much a shit show. Like, so these people are going through a lot. And I want to be clear, like, I'm not mad at any of these illegal immigrants. If I was born in South and Central America, I would want to live in the United States instead of that country, too. I mean, who would ever want to live in Mexico instead of the United States? I perfectly understand why anyone would do this. Especially if you're from a poor country or a country with major problems like war or instability or your state has failed or your government is a dictatorship. Of course, you'd like to move to a place where your government is not a dictatorship and where it's less violent and more rich and like more prosperous and more stable and all around better. You know, I understand that. Like, so I want to be clear. I'm not mad at any of these illegal immigrants who come here. I fully understand why they would do this. I empathize greatly with them, and I extend each individual my personal sympathies. That being said, I don't care. I don't, like, set foreign policy, but if I did, I'm not setting foreign policy based on, like, who I feel sad for. You know, I'm setting foreign policy based on what I think is in the best interest of the United States. And allowing this uncontrolled immigration is certainly not. The conditions they've walked out of are not a factor for me one bit. Unless they fit the legal definition of an asylum claim, I am not interested. You know, I don't mean I'm not interested. Like, you know, I feel for these people. But, like, we have a refugee resettlement program. You know, apply through that. If you want to come here. You know. And, like, the thing is, I'm not mad at these illegal immigrants who take advantage of our total fuck-up. Like, we fuck up. Every time an illegal immigrant enters this country, it's not his or her fault that this has happened. It's our fault for allowing it to happen. It's a mistake. We've made a mistake. We've made an error. We've allowed a thing to happen that shouldn't have happened. And when that happens, it's our job to fix it. And the problem is when you have a sanctuary state like my home state of Massachusetts, which normally gets things right. I think it's the best state in the union, by the way. Shout out to Massachusetts. But when you have a country or when you have a state or a city that incentivizes illegal immigration, you are taking one mistake and you're tripling down and making it a worse mistake. Both because by not deporting the illegal immigrants you find, you are not rectifying the first mistake. But also because by not rectifying the first mistake, you are making more mistakes more likely. Now, to like reiterate, I'm not mad at any of these illegal immigrants. I understand what they're going through. You have to think about, like, if it's so bad that where you're from, that you're walking through the desert and the jungle and like literally walking through Mexico, and not just Mexico, but several other countries that are south of Mexico. You're like going for a 2,000-mile walk to sneak into a country that may deport you. It has to be pretty bad where you came from. But like the United States is not a homeless shelter, and it is not a charity that exists to adopt people from failed states and unstable states and straight up like third world states or like, you know, banana republics. It's not. You know, That's not what we are constituted to do. And if you want me to support illegal immigration, you're going to have to make a case that it directly benefits the citizens of the United States. You see, I believe that every person in the world should. I know should's kind of a shaky word, but you know, I believe that every person in the world should live prosperously, live with safety and peace and human rights and dignity and like, should be able to pursue, you know, should live under liberty and with the ability to pursue happiness and, like, should not be persecuted based on their sexual orientation or their sex or their religion or their creed or their race or even their gender identity or whatever other things differentiate people from one another. You know, but a lot of the world doesn't operate that way. Many countries and many people don't believe what I believe. You know, and like, if you don't live in a country with these beliefs, if your people, meaning your ancestors or your current, like, you know, living relatives your fellow citizens have decided to create or to perpetuate a country that does not have these values, these Western values, then it does not follow from that that you automatically get to enter the United States and live here just because you have walked here. I do not want us accepting walk-ins or walk-ons. You know, I'm not interested in that at all. Like, so I just want to make sure my position is very clear. Outside of the narrow legal grounds of asylum or refugee status, the conditions of your home country are not, in my opinion, what should decide whether the United States allows you to stay here. Literally, the only factor I believe that should influence whether or not you get to stay in the United States is the needs of the citizens of the United States at the time that you have asked to be here. I mean, if we suddenly decide to pick a lot more apples than lettuce, and that necessitates a million more lettuce pickers, and we have a vast need for immigrants, good. Guess what? They're here. Come on in. But, you know, if, conversely, we suddenly need far less unskilled labor, well, then we're going to take fewer immigrants, and that's fine. You know, I believe that over time, we should strive for a one-world government like in Star Trek, you know, where there are no nationalities anymore, and, like, everybody's just governed by one government around the world that protects all the rights that you and I in the West like. Human rights. I mean, like, you know, I know everybody's definition of human rights is, like, a little bit different, but I think, like, when I say human rights, the concept is clear enough that you know what I'm talking about. Like, freedom to worship the way you want, and, like, or not at all, or, like, freedom to be a communist, or a libertarian, or a real conservative person, or whatever, like, you know, political freedom, religious freedom, freedom of thought, freedom of speech, like, you know, free from want, and hunger, and violence, and all the rest of it, all the good shit. Now, I also think that we're not anywhere close to that. We're nowhere near a one-world government. We're very far away from it. It might be 1,000 years before we get there, and, you know, I will, you know, believe it when it starts to happen, and I'm going to be one of the last people. I need to see it start to happen before it's more than a pipe dream. I'm not setting immigration policy based on that happening, because we're very far away from that. That's a hippie pipe dream, one I share, but, like, it's not realistic or close to now. So, like, this means that I am a tribalist. To be clear, I am tribal, and my tribe are my fellow citizens of the United States. That's my tribe. Those are the people, when you draw a circle, I mean, that's my tribe. I draw a circle around those people, those are my people. I have a second circle, by the way. And that's the global West. By which I mean those countries that share values that my country has. I don't know how accurate it is to say they are Western values. It seems pretty accurate. But to be clear, there are other... To be clear, I don't mean the West geographically. Like, I'm not just talking about Europe. I mean a set of countries that share a certain set of spiritual and legal values and norms. So these countries are democracies that are stable. I mean, they're long-term democracies, and they allow more or less free speech and free thought, and more or less, freedom to be who you want to be. They are classically liberal countries, is what I'm saying. France, Germany, Australia, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the U.S., Canada, those types of places. There are many countries that share these values. Like, I mean, in America, we might call them American values, but the British probably call them British values. You know, I'm not trying to take credit for all the values. I'm saying, so that's my second circle of people. That's my secondary tribe, you know. That's my secondary tribe. I'm cooler with them than I am with everybody else. If Germany got invaded by Russia, I'd gladly take 20 million German refugees because they're part of my tribe. Like, you know, they're my second tribe, like, because they share our values, you know. And then, I mean, the world is just made up of a bunch of concentric circles. Like, you know, I don't feel I have very much in common with the Taliban of Afghanistan or the North Koreans, you know, because they don't share my values. The problem is I view this nation, the United States, I believe the reason the country exists is to put the interests of its citizens above the interests of people who are not citizens. It's the reason the country exists. It's like a co-op for people with American citizenship. That's what the country is. The country exists to benefit its citizens. Its army exists to protect its citizens. Its government exists to provide its citizens services that its citizens have decided they want, like legal protection from murder, for example, and to protect private property, you know, etc. Like, we, the people of the United States, create laws and norms and mores and societal values, and the government's job is to protect those things and to maintain them. Like, you know, sometimes people say, why are you obsessing over imaginary lines on a map? Well, if you think they're imaginary lines, go live in Afghanistan, or go live in Mexico, or emigrate to North Korea, or, you know, Saudi Arabia, if you don't want it to be so poor, or, you know, Russia, or, you know, Israel, or wherever. Go leave. Go leave and talk to me about imaginary lines on a map. They aren't, they are socially constructed lines, to be clear. But they are not imaginary. They exist. And, you know, I'm interested in maintaining them for now. Within my lifetime, there's not going to be a one-world government unless artificial intelligence takes over, and then that'll just be a whole different ride. But, sorry, I got distracted thinking about that, and my beard itched. So the problem is, like, illegal immigration is bad for the tribe, and I'm against it. It deludes, my conception of citizenship is Roman. That, like, in addition to citizenship granting you rights, ideally, citizenship grants you responsibilities. I can't speak for other nations and don't really want to. Like, you know, I admire the Brits, but how they conceive of themselves is their thing. Whatever they choose to do or not is up to them. Like, I don't feel like I can say too much about what the French do or don't do, or the Japanese or anything. But, like, for myself, and thinking about what the United States is, like, I think U.S. citizenship is a very valuable thing. I believe it's a sacred thing, and I don't want to hand it out, like, because somebody's trying to steal it. So, A lot of people say, hey, you know, all these people immigrated here illegally, like, just let them stay here, like, just make them citizens. Like, hey, if you make it easier to immigrate here legally, there won't be illegal immigrants. Like, I understand all of that. I don't want to do that. Now, I need to be clear, because I said that I'd like to deport every single illegal immigrant. I would. If I could snap my fingers and make every person who was here illegally not here anymore, they would all be gone. I'm Thanos. Goodbye, bitches. Peace. You know, welcome home. You know? But, oh, I'm sorry. Children, or people who arrived here as children don't count. They can stay. They didn't make that decision. They didn't spit in our faces on purpose. They're kids. They're not responsible for what their parents did. The Dreamers can stay. Anyone who came here under the age of 18, illegally, can stay. I would just give them citizenship and call it a day, for lack of a better option. Or at least I'd give them a green card, and with an opportunity to become a citizen. But anybody who arrived here over 18, gone. That's just if I was, like, you know, a sorcerer and could just do what I wanted. But guess what? I'm not a sorcerer. And in real terms, there might be as many as 20 million illegal immigrants here. And to find them all and deport them all would cost $1 trillion. It would cause also a lot of controversy. It would upset a bunch of hippies and a bunch of people who, you know, have family members who are illegal. So deporting all of them is not possible. It's simply, well, no, sorry, it is possible, it's not prudent. And so, unfortunately, despite what I want, some people who have immigrated here illegally are going to be allowed to stay. We will grant them amnesty, and they will just get to stay. How many, I don't know. But, like, look, at the same time, anytime our government, right now, comes into contact with illegal immigrants, I want them gone. I mean, anytime the state government, a local government, or the federal government, or a private citizen finds an illegal immigrant, I want that person deported. Like, because they're not supposed to be here. It's the same exact logic by which if somebody is caught with 10 pounds of cocaine in their backpack, I want them put in jail because cocaine like that is illegal, you know? So, like, look, I understand we're not going to be able to deport every single illegal immigrant. And I don't even, like, want us to do that for the reasons I've just outlined. It's undoable. It's undoable, it's divisive, it's damaging. There's a bunch of reasons we can't do it. But that doesn't mean that I don't want us to deport every single illegal immigrant we happen to find, you know? I don't want any exceptions to this rule whatsoever. Zero exceptions. None. Nada. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Zero. Any government contact with an illegal immigrant, out. You're out. Goodbye. You know, because you were not supposed to be here to begin with. I need to emphasize that this is not a cruel policy. You weren't supposed to be here. Listen, we made a mistake when we let you in. You snuck in successfully, but that doesn't mean, like, because you snuck in, now you get to stay. It means that you need to keep sneaking or we're going to send you home. And I need to be clear, like, I don't want anyone beaten up, and I don't want anyone, like, you know, fucking hung by chains by their wrists, or, like, you know, tortured, or, like, dehydrated, or even, like, yelled at, or been, like, you know, whatever. But, like, you know, if you're found to be here illegally, I want you detained and deported. And by the way, no 90-day grace period. Get out. No 90 days. 10 minutes. You get 10 minutes. We'll bring you home to pack your shit, and out you go. And by the way, when you pack your shit and say goodbye to your legal family members and friends, I want 2 Border Patrol agents with you so you can't run away. I don't mind allowing you a half an hour or so to put your affairs in order, but you're out. Like, you weren't supposed to be here in the first place. Goodbye. Like, I do not say any of this to be cruel, and I understand that you want to stay, and it's very nice to want things. I want things, too. You know, I want $1 billion, and I want a puppy. I want a seeing eye dog. I want 20 girlfriends who are all very attractive. At some point after that, I'd like a wife who is, like, ride or die and great, and who is, like, my soulmate, who is also, you know, attractive. I'm saying these are the things I want, you know, like if I'm just picking things I want, I'd like to go fly on a SpaceX shuttle and go experience weightlessness in space. You know, we all want shit. Like, you know, and if you're not a citizen of the United States, I understand, and you live in a country that sucks, of course I understand why you would want to live here. I get it. You know, I get it. Like, and like, you know, you see it on TV, and like, I understand all of that. But like, I don't, just because you want that doesn't mean we're going to give it to you. Like, because it's not in our interest to do that. It, like, I don't want to create a shadow class of people, and I don't want to reward bad behavior by just saying, like, well, you've shown up here, and so now you're a citizen. Because it incentivizes further illegal immigration to the United States, and I just don't want to do that. Now, I'm going to talk to you about what I do want, because I don't have an impractical position here, so hang on. Talking about is impractical. So I'm going to tell you what I really want. All right, so first of all, what I want is border security. I don't believe we need a wall. It was the reason I was always opposed to building one in the first place, and I think Trump is an asshole. Maybe I was a little radicalized against the wall because he said it was a good idea. But I don't think we need a 2,000-mile-long wall. I just don't think that's necessary. I think it sends the wrong signal to the world, like that we're afraid of a bunch of poor South and Central Americans. You know, I'm pretty sure that we can keep people out without a wall. I mean, it's kind of like cartoonish to just have a huge wall. But what I do want is border security. I'll let the experts decide exactly what that means, but I'll pay whatever it costs. I mean, if border security means for the next couple of years stationing 30,000 National Guardsmen and women at the border to block illegal immigrants, and that costs us $20 billion, fine. That's what I'll do. That's what I would advocate doing. If it means a bunch of drones or a bunch more cameras or like 20,000 packs of dogs in a moat, you know, whatever. I don't care what the method. I don't care how it is done. I would ask the experts and do whatever they said to secure that border. I said this before. On average, the Border Patrol is apprehending 320,000 illegal immigrants a month. In fairness, a couple of those people are asylum seekers. But what I want is for that number to go down to zero. I know it won't get there, but I'm saying it's the goal. It's the goal. It's like saying, I wish zero people died of cancer or heart disease. You understand that people are still going to die of heart disease or cancer. I'm talking about the goals. So first of all, I want border security. And like, border security is really important to me because it's like the thing I have to talk about before anything else can be talked about. Like, remember how I said before that I am getting so irritated by this situation that I'm starting to be tempted to say I want to remove us from the treaties that obligate us to take asylum seekers? It's not because I have a problem with asylum seekers. I have a problem because people who are weirdly pro-illegal immigration are using the asylum seeker thing as a political bludgeon to get what they want. And I would like to take that tool away from them because they are misusing it. But I'm perfectly cool. Like, listen, you know, here's the thing. And the other thing is, like, listen, you know, if you're telling me, yeah, okay, here we are. Sorry. I had to bite back the anger. If you're telling me that you want to resettle 320,000 refugees that you scoop up from fucking Syria and like Eritrea and you even Ukraine and Afghanistan, if you want to take people from their home countries and fly them here to resettle them here in a legal refugee resettlement program, part of me is like, hey, that's a wonderful idea. It warms my heart that we are taking in people from Eritrea and Kenya and stuff and Somalia and letting them start new lives here. It makes me so happy when I think about it. But then I'm like, what the fuck do you have to fly them over here for? They walk here themselves. We don't need a refugee resettlement program. We have one. It's just the fucking hordes of people we allow to walk in. Scrap that refugee program because every fucking month we get 320,000 people fucking walking in here. What do we need to import them for? They're importing themselves, and our own ineptitude means we let them stay. Which is to say that, you know, I favor, like, refugees and asylum seekers, but I favor it less when I feel like, or not feel like, when I know illegal immigration is out of control. So crack the fuck down on that shit so that I can like, contemplate our charitable work, our asylum applications and our refugees without feeling like I'm being, like, fucking tricked politically. You know, it's like when you say to me, hey, like, we need to let these asylum seekers in. It's like, yeah, fine. Hey, yeah, good. But then you gotta fucking do something about these illegal immigrants. Because it's not gonna be both. It's not gonna be both, especially when we maintain a welfare state. And you can tra-la-la about how our welfare state isn't as generous as the Western European model. Sure, fine, that's true. But it's still good enough, and we're still granting benefits to people who are not supposed to be here. I don't want to do it. No. Moving on. If I was ever given border security, now we got to talk about what's going to happen to the people who are already here. Now, listen to me. What I want right now, again, if I were the president, I would say to ICE, so... I want ICE working overtime. I would double the number of employees ICE have. I would tell ICE, which is the agency whose job it is to deport illegal immigrants, listen, any illegal immigrant you find whatsoever, unless they came to this country as a minor and can prove that to you, deport them. No 90-day grace period. Fucking, once you find an illegal immigrant, you apprehend that person, and by the way, you do it humanely, and you do it gently and politely, you do it in the way you'd want it done to you, but that does not alter the fact that you are deporting that person, and there are no exceptions. You find any illegal immigrant you find, you deport. That's it. Period. Unless they came here as a minor. I just don't care. Pull them out of the fucking churches. You know. Wait outside courthouses if you know an illegal immigrant has a court date. I don't care. You get them out of here. They're not supposed to be here. ICE is fixing the mistakes of the Border Patrol and our politicians. You know, we're just fixing our mistakes when we deport these people. They were never supposed to be in here to begin with. It's like, it's just insanity. Nothing happens just because you fucking snuck in here successfully and managed to sneak around for 3 years. So, that being said, first of all, I would triple the number of ICE employees. I'd quadruple their budget. And I would give them free rein to go wherever and do whatever, because their job is to deport illegal immigrants. And I would start in sanctuary cities, because I know that's just moths to the flame. I would start in sanctuary cities and states, you know. Send them home. Deport them. Now, I have to make it really clear that I understand that even if I tripled the number of employees that deport illegal immigrants, and even if I quadrupled their budget, we will never come close to deporting all the illegal immigrants who exist here. But what we can do is make them live in a climate of extreme fear. I want these people to fear deportation every single time they walk outside. I want them to be so scared of getting deported that they contemplate leaving on their own. Because I do not want to incentivize illegal immigration. I know that if you disagree with me, you either think that what I'm saying is cruel or really cruel. I'm not coming at it from a place of cruelty. They weren't supposed to be here to begin with, and I want them out. I want illegal immigration to be a thing that nobody wants to do, because I want them to think it's just a lot of trouble to get deported. You're going to pay a coyote $10,000. You're going to walk 2,000 miles and walk your feet to the bone, sneak into El Paso, Texas, fucking go see your boys in Ohio, and then 2 weeks later, you're going to be deported when you're buying a fucking ice cream cone. That's what I want. And that's the reason that so many people come here illegally is that is not the lived experience of most illegal immigrants, but it should be now. To continue, however, because deporting all these people is impossible. It's both literally impossible in the sense that, like, we're just never going to find all these people. We're never going to appropriate all the money to do it. We're never going to hire enough people to do it. And even if we could, it would cause too much political pain and controversy. So because it's impossible, it's going to mean that at some point, we're going to grant an amnesty, just like it was done during the Reagan administration in a bipartisan manner. We're going to grant an amnesty to all the people we haven't deported at the time the amnesty is granted. So if the amnesty is offered on February 1st, you know, I want us deporting people up to then. So if you can make it to February 1st, you get to stay. If we find you before amnesty is granted, you don't get to stay. Is it fair? No. Is it just? No, it's not. It's just practical. It's only practical. It's neither fair nor just. It's just practical. And practicality is the best I hope for in life. I hope for justice, but don't expect to get it. And fairness, just don't expect to get it. So my policy is, like, deport until that amnesty is granted. And the thing is, like, I'm totally willing, although a little unhappy, to grant these people amnesty. 40 years from now, it won't matter that we granted these people amnesty. It'll all be over. But only if at the same time we have border security. Because, like, I don't want to have to do it again in 40 years. This is the whole problem. Like, if we didn't have illegal immigration in the first place, we wouldn't have this problem. So what's happened now is like, this is our problem we've created. And I don't want to create it again once we fix it this time. So, like, you know, if you give me border security, I'm perfectly willing to recognize that we're going to have to grant just in case you don't know what amnesty means, it means that we're going to allow all these illegal immigrants to stay. It's like how the libraries say, return your library books this week and there are no fines. So I understand that granting amnesty to many of these people is going to be a necessity. You know, and it's going to be for the vast majority of them. Working really hard, we can probably deport 4 million people a year, maybe 5. But, like, unfortunately, we're going to have to keep the rest of them. I mean, you know, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. And it'll be better because at least they won't be in the shadows anymore, which is bad on its own. It's bad because it hardens the hearts of people like me, and it's just bad to have a shadow class. So amnesty gets rid of the shadow class, and border security prevents it from regrowing because we won't let this happen again. So the solution is to stop illegal immigration from happening so that we don't have to grant an amnesty again, and to grant an amnesty now. Coupled with border security. That's what should happen. Something like that should happen. Anything along those lines, I'm cool with. I mean, border security with immigration enforcement is the deal. It's a good deal. And the problem is, right now, we're kind of experiencing, like, gridlock in Congress and between our political parties. And so to get that deal has been very hard. But that's what I want. And so I do want to just emphasize, I want citizenship to be a thing the people of the United States decide to grant to individuals who ask for it. Not a thing that is stolen from us or browbeaten to us. It's like, I am not interested in that. Now, I don't care what's going on to make these people leave, to come here. I can only imagine that living in Nicaragua is hell. But that doesn't mean that every citizen of Nicaragua by default gets to emigrate to the United States because they don't like it in Nicaragua. And that's the status quo we have now. And I don't like it, and I want to stop it. You know, and I am open, as I said at the beginning, to discussing how many citizens we create every year and how much immigration we take in every year. But I refuse to, I do not want us to be a victim of our own geography, where just because we happen to live in a horrible neighborhood where somehow every country in South and Central America is so crappy that they all want to, like, that significant groups of people in every single country to our south want to emigrate here. It doesn't mean they get to do that. And, like, to be clear, by the way, I've kind of made some sarcastic remarks about how if you live in Mexico or if you live in Belize, of course you'd rather live in America. I understand that that's not every single person in all of those countries, but it's enough of them. So I'm not trying to say that there aren't Mexicans who take pride in being citizens of Mexico and don't want to continue to do that. Of course there are. It's why not every single person has walked here. Like, I'm just saying that the conditions in their home countries are not a factor for me in whether or not we allow them to stay here. It's too many people. And I have a friend, and she lives in Britain. And she was telling me that they have an immigration problem. They have people trying to sneak from France to England illegally. And I can't remember if it's... I believe... So then I got curious, because I'm always curious. You know, I sympathize with every other first world country with an immigration problem. I really do. I feel horrible for the Europeans. I don't know why the hell they let all those people into Greece and Italy. I would just turn those boats around and send them right back to Tunisia and Egypt. But anyway, that's a subject for another podcast. But my friend in Britain told me that they have an immigration problem too, so I got curious and I looked it up. You know, and they have 6,400 people emigrating to Britain illegally on average from France. So let's see. That's a total of 80,000 people a year. Fucking lucky motherfuckers over there. I would take 80,000 illegal immigrants a year. No problem. Fuck it. If it was only 6,000 people a month, I would never even talk about this. Who cares? I don't give a fuck. 6,000 people a month? What the fuck? Who gives a fuck? Not me. I would never say boo about it. But it's not 6,000 people. It's literally... I'm so bad at math. But it's... At least 90 times, no, it's at least 60 times that number. Like, it's crazy. It's not 6,000 people a month, it's 300,000 people a month, and like, it's been going on for 30 years, and I'm not cool with it. And like, you know, I'm not a racist. I would be cool, like, you know, if Congress passed a bill that said, like, we're going to take in exclusively 8 million Africans from Africa. And we're going to find the darkest skinned Africans we can find. I'd be like, great, fine. Who cares? I don't give a fuck. I just don't care. Like, there's no racial group I don't want. I'm cool with it. Like, you know, I don't give a fuck. We have a thing in this country called the diversity lottery, in which we grant visas to the countries who have the least amount of visas. So, like, you get to come here just because we don't have that many, say, I don't know, people from the Democratic Republic of Congo here. Or, like, we don't have that many North Koreans, and so we grant them visas. It's called the diversity lottery. I'm emphatically okay with that. Like, that's the thing. I love it when we import new people. Like, you know, I like when we take a group we don't have that many of them, bring them in here, because it gets us new food, it gets us new culture, it gets us new fashion. I love all that shit. So this has nothing to do with race for me, and nothing to do with ethnic groups or cultural groups. I don't oppose illegal immigration because of any specific group coming here. I just oppose it because it's illegal. And because it weakens the fabric of our society in a horrible way. It cheapens American citizenship. It creates a shadow class of people that harms the United States. A shadow class is bad for us, and that's why I'm against it. I'm against it for a bunch of different reasons, and I hope I've illustrated what some of those are. You know, I don't want us spending money on these people. I don't want us giving these people welfare benefits. You know, in New York City, we were letting these people stay in hotels, like literal hotels. I don't want to do that. You know, the thing is, if you are a person who favors government programs for the poor, and for the, like, slightly less poor than that, you know, and I, you know, which I am, by the way, I favor a welfare state. I'm not quite sure how robust, you know, I don't know if I favor, like, really hippie, European-style welfare, but I certainly favor a welfare state. I favor giving food stamps to people who are hungry, and I favor providing housing to some homeless people if those people look like they don't want to fucking mainline 10 pounds of cocaine. You know, I favor all sorts of, you know, to list the welfare stuff I favor would take me an hour. I favor a strong welfare state in historical American standards. I mean, like, if they said, hey, we're going to increase welfare spending on the poor by 5%, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. I'm fine with that. And the more efficiently I know the money is being spent, and the more I know it's related to how hard people want to work for a better life, I'm happy about that, you know? I don't mean I want to make a punitive welfare state in which we, like, undermine people. I'm saying, you know, I'd rather give a check for $300 a week to somebody who's working 40 hours a week than a $300 check to somebody who's not looking for any work and has never worked. I'm saying I want to help people who are trying to help themselves. But either way, even people who aren't helping themselves, I think citizens who are poor and citizens who are going through a tough time, even if that tough time is self-inflicted, like they had a hard time with drugs or I don't know, they just made a bunch of poor financial choices. Like, I want to help our people with money, with taxpayer money, you know. Even if it means we need to raise taxes to do that on the rich, I want to do that. You know, I'm cool with a welfare state. But the more illegal immigrants that come here, the less cool I am with it, because they're getting some of that fucking welfare shit. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend one penny on any illegal immigrant who's here. Outside of the very, very basic fucking humanitarian aid that we're forced, that we're not forced, but like, the very, I don't want anyone starving to death because they're here. Well, they're here. You know, even if they fucking snuck into the country, give them a bowl of rice and a protein bar before you send them home. You know, but, I'm not interested in the welfare state and illegal immigration at the same time. You can pick one. Pick one. I'm not interested in a shadow class of Americans. It weakens American citizenship. A thing I'd like to strengthen and not weaken, you know. I want our government to go above and beyond for our citizens. That's what it exists for. And illegal immigration pulls dollars out of the pockets of our citizens. It's a blasphemy to take American taxpayer money and spend it on people who snuck in here and won't leave. You know, get out. Like, I have a buddy who just said to me, you know it's going to cost billions of dollars to secure the border. Oh, fuck it. Like, we spend billions of dollars on everything else. I mean, we have literally acted like the Roman Empire and thrown tribute as blackmail to states to our south. Just because they're fucked up. The amount of money we have wasted and just thrown away in foreign aid is nuts. Is nuts. And when I think about it, it almost makes me have a stroke. Did you know that we give one-third of 1% of our total budget to foreign aid? Every single year we do that. Why? Why? Like, my God, why? I, you know, we have $34 trillion in debt. Our interest payments are doing nothing but climbing. What the fuck? We don't have it like that. Who thinks we have the money for these dumb charitable projects? Fuck. And what the fuck? How the fuck are you gonna tell me that we should fucking give aid to, like, you know, I'm thinking of a country I haven't listed yet. How the fuck Are we going to give foreign aid to sorry, I'm just trying to pick a country I haven't named. I don't want to pick... All right. How the hell are we giving foreign aid of any kind to Colombia while Colombia is permitting its own people to fucking come here as illegal immigrants? Stop doing that. Like, stop doing that. Like, you know, and what the fuck are we giving Colombia foreign aid for? Colombia has been fucked up for 40 years. They had a 40-year-long civil war. I don't see that our foreign aid is making Colombia any better. And, like, listen, you know, I'm not entirely hard-hearted, despite what it sounds like over the last 2 hours. You know, if you could show me that foreign aid is vastly improving a country with strict benchmarks, like, you know, if what you wanted was to, if we were handing out a foreign aid to a country with the specific goal of lessening malnutrition among children, and you can show me that every year we're coming 20% closer to that goal, okay. In that specific aspect, I'm cool with foreign aid. But if over 5 years, we aren't getting any closer to that goal, well, we're not handing out that money for our fucking looks. So let's stop giving it out. I'd rather burn it on the Washington Mall. Or I'd rather fucking use it to fucking pay our debt. Or I'd rather use it to rehabilitate a ghetto in Chicago, where somehow we've allowed 15-year-old kids to shoot each other in gangland shootings over nothing. So if you want to talk to me about spending money, let's start with our Indian reservations and endemic poverty in the United States, where there is urban, multi-generational poverty that falls on historically marginalized groups in this country. If you want to talk to me about handing out foreign aid to fucking the people of Pakistan, before we do that, I want every fucking black kid in Chicago to get $10,000 and a pair of fucking Nikes and a trip to fucking Disney World. God damn it. This is the thing, is there are American citizens who are born on the bottom end of the ladder, like, and we should be using every spare dollar to uplift that before we go insane and fucking give rice to the North Koreans, which is a thing we literally do. Like, what the fuck? Like, what, like, you know, and this is insane. Like, and so then, you know, And then, by the way, and then, like, somehow, when we talk about this shit, like, there's a weird false framing that goes on, which is that, somehow, people think that, like, there's an argument presented that goes, okay, we need to stop illegal immigration to the United States. And the way we're going to do that is by providing more foreign aid to the places illegal immigration is coming from. Hey, newsflash, motherfuckers. We've been providing those countries foreign aid for fucking 100 years. For such a long time. We have been providing robust foreign aid to poor countries for a long ass time. Guess what? They're still fucked up. They're just as fucked up as they were 60 years ago when we gave them foreign aid. It's such a useless expenditure. And by the way, don't get it twisted. I don't mean that every foreign aid expenditure is stupid. U.S. money, for example, has helped eliminate polio around the world. Because that has benchmarks on it. PEPFAR, the president's program to end AIDS in Africa and other places, has vastly lowered the number of AIDS and HIV cases existing in the world. So if what you heard me just say is American foreign aid does no good, that's not what I said. I am okay with some foreign aid, but I want to fucking lock on all that money, and I want to know exactly what it's doing. And if it's not doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing, I don't want to spend it anymore. Because we have problems over here. And the entire fucking point of being part of a country is that we take care of our people before we take care of other people. Like, listen. Like, there are places in this country that are bad. I don't, like, where people suffer, like, things they shouldn't have to here. I don't just mean in the South Side of Chicago, and I don't just mean in Indian reservations, and I don't just mean in Appalachia or Appalachia. I never know how to say that one properly. I don't just mean in the poorer sections of Colorado. You know, there are people in every single state. There are communities that are poor. And there are communities that are poor for a long time. And it's not just one group. It's not a white thing or a black thing. It's an American thing. There are badly functioning schools. There are poor policing. There are places where there's no broadband internet, for example. There are places where the water is less clean than in other places. There are places that are food deserts. We have all sorts of problems in this country. So when you want to go gallivanting all around the world and just hand out money to fucking people who have it worse than us, you know, I am not against that, but everything is zero sum. We have $34 trillion in debt. Our interest payments on that debt are only growing higher. Every year our debt increases because our current level of spending and our current level of taxation is unsustainable. And, you know, at that time, given those facts, I want to spend money on our people first before I spend money on other people's people. Because you know whose problem it is to fucking fix, say, Pakistan? It's the collective responsibility of the citizens of Pakistan. And no, that does not mean I don't want to give them a dollar. It just means that I prioritize every American citizen before I prioritize the citizens of Pakistan. That's my nationalism. Now, I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. Now, there is an argument made by people who are stupid. I apologize, I don't mean stupid. I mean, I think they're wrong. There's an argument made by people, and they say, listen, if you want to stop illegal immigration, you need to give more foreign aid to the countries where it is coming from. First of all, motherfuckers, like, you know, you realize we've been giving them foreign aid for 80 years, and there's still just as much illegal immigration going to them now. I mean, there's more illegal immigration now from those countries than there has been, say, 50 years ago. Our foreign aid is not a factor. And even if it was, I don't accept the argument. Like, I am not. We are not Rome paying tribute to the Gauls over here. If you don't understand what I'm saying, the Gauls were a tribe of people who lived outside Rome, and what they really wanted was to come inside Rome. If they couldn't stay in Rome, they wanted to raid Rome for women and gold and cows and stuff. And, like, you know, what today we'd call manufactured goods, luxury items, I'm saying. You know, fucking pots and pans and fucking swords and, like, you know, I don't know, stuff Romans made that they didn't have in their tribal territories. But what they also wanted, they also just wanted to live in the Roman Empire. And, like, the Romans used to fucking pay them money to leave. A tribute used to be a thing that countries would pay to stop problems. So, you know, if there was an army that showed up and it was going to, like, rape and pillage your city, and you wanted to go away, you wanted that army to go away, you just give them a bunch of gold and they would leave. You know, like they would be like, okay, cool, we took our payoff, we're out. So listen, when we talk about this foreign aid thing, both people here, Democrats, mostly, and people there, the beneficiaries of American foreign aid, say, if you want to stop the illegal immigration, increase the foreign aid. They are like, you need to make these countries successful to stop the immigration. And I'm like, no, it's not our problem. Not unless you want us to create 20 more states of the United States. Not unless you want us to talk about the 5 new states we've taken, that we've created because we invaded and conquered Mexico. Then and only then is the condition of the Mexican people our responsibility. And that holds for every place illegal immigrants come from. I am not going to be blackmailed by these places into paying them tribute in the form of foreign aid to avoid illegal immigrants. I'm not doing that. I refuse to accept that. Here's what I want. I want us to close our border so that they can't send their people here. And then I want to decide not to give them foreign aid anyway, if that's what I decide, or we decide. Or if we decide to give them more foreign aid, that's fine. But it certainly should have nothing to do with how many people emigrate from their country to our country illegally. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying, I got to say it one more time. Let's say there's a country. I want to pick one I haven't picked. A poor South or Central American country. Let me think. Okay, fine. Ecuador. Let's say that Ecuador is in a position where it needs some foreign aid from us. I don't know, it wants to build a railroad, or, you know, it is incapable of feeding itself, or its people have rickets, or, like, they need money to run fair elections because somehow they don't have it themselves, or whatever fucking thing they refuse to do for themselves that they somehow conned us into paying for. Fine. Okay. Like, you know, we're good Samaritans around the world. It's both useful for our own morality to do this, and it's useful as a public relations effort. It does good for us to do good things for Ecuador. It reminds us that we're good people. It helps the Ecuadorians out. And it's good publicity for us. There are many good reasons for foreign aid. Not to mention the best reason. If we ever need a favor from Ecuador, we can say, hey, listen, here's the favors we've done you recently. Remember those? So there's plenty of good reasons to give Ecuador foreign aid. By good, I mean morally good and self-interested. And whenever you can fucking do something that's morally good and self-interested at the same time, that's really great. So, there are great reasons to give Ecuador foreign aid. But there is one reason that's not a good reason. And that is when the people of Ecuador, I mean the people who run that country, say, hey, either give us $10 billion or we're going to send you 400,000 illegal immigrants because we know you don't want that. In that case, what I want to do is say, listen, fuck you, you get no money, and you don't get to send us any of your people. We're going to send them home. If you send us 400,000 Ecuadorians, we're going to send them right back to your fucking country. Fuck you. And no more money for you because you've acted like assholes and tried to blackmail us to pay you tribute. I am not. We are the most powerful country in the world. I demand that we are not blackmailed in such a way. And by the way, to end the show, here's how I feel about that. If my choice is either paying these countries blackmail money in the form of foreign aid or taking their people as illegal immigrants, guess what? I'd rather take the illegal immigrants. Do you know why? Because, you see, we have what's called birthright citizenship in this country, so the problem is solved when the illegal immigrants die. So what happens is, 100,000 illegal immigrants come here. And even in the midst of our dysfunction, we can't deport them. Which is very bad. I am against that. I have just been talking for like fucking 9 hours, or however long this has been, about that. But the thing is that those 100,000 illegal immigrants, if they are of childbearing age, will have children. And we have birthright citizenship, which means every baby born on American soil is an American citizen, meaning that the parents are illegal immigrants, but their children are not. Their children are American citizens. And everybody dies, including illegal immigrants. So illegal immigration, if not perpetuated by sloppy borders, by open borders, by poor policies, if not perpetuated in that way, solves itself because the illegal immigrants eventually die. So as long as you can stop illegal immigration, it eventually goes away. And what replaces it are American citizens. You have parents who are illegal, birthing children who are citizens, who then, of course, naturally have children who are citizens again, because we have birthright citizenship here. So, if forced to either pay foreign aid in the form of blackmail, because the failure to pay foreign aid is supposedly going to result in that country sending us illegal immigrants, well, fuck you. I will say, we will not pay you any foreign aid, and we'll take the fucking immigrants and fucking deal with it. You know, so don't tell me my views aren't nuanced. This has been the seventh episode of The Blind Spot. I'll catch you guys next time. Peace. Thanks for listening.